doing some research and gathering things up, I kind of came to the realization, I don't know if that's the right word I want, but I didn't want to use electronics. I didn't want to use AI. Here recently, I'd seen some stuff on AI, or, you know, really whenever you're looking on your cell phone, you're communicating with AI. You know, you search something in Google, it's artificially giving you the information. Well, when I was researching this and going through how I wanted to present faith, rooted in faith, I said to myself, no, AI is out. Because, like I said, I was watching something, a video on AI, about how AI is presented to you. And guess what? It's presented to you in the way of looking at it in a common way. The common thought. The worldly thought. Because they think that that's what they want you to do. It's a mathematical thing, but they give it to you not in what you want to do, especially when we're looking at trying to be faithful to our God. So I said to myself, self? Because that's what I call me now and then. No AI, no electronics for this. And then it got reinforced to me this morning because I said no AI, but I'm thinking, okay, I want to put some pictures into this thing, a few of them anyway. And I tried to put PowerPoint. I tried to open PowerPoint and build a PowerPoint. Got it on my computer. I've done it a lot of times. Guess what? Number one, it wouldn't load. It took about 15 minutes for me to open PowerPoint up, and then it wouldn't let me do anything. I'm sitting there this morning, a cup of coffee, my Bible in front of me, computer there, in between me and my Bible. And I said, no. So then I brought it for Timothy to put it together for me. But I wanted it to be clean and pleasing to God. What I'm going to try to present to you, and bear with me, today seems to be kind of a bad day, but I'll get through it. So, I forgot that there's blanks in between them, right? Did I go the wrong way? Go ahead and give me the next one, please. I'll just let you do it. The title of this presentation is Rooted in Faith. How many of you ever been out and about near a lake, up in the mountains or whatever, and you see a tree growing out of the side of rocks like that? We've all seen it, haven't we? Maybe some of the young folks haven't done a lot of traveling, but you've probably seen something like this, where there's a plant growing. You see it alongside the road a lot. Weeds growing out between the cracks on the cement. Rooted. Deep-rooted. Okay? Go ahead and give me that next picture, please. You know, you got that one, and then you got this guy I was looking for oak trees, but this is a live oak tree with, don't know the difference between one oak tree and another, but it's a grove of live oak trees that they're also rooted. They just don't have to work as hard to get the nutrients and stuff that they need to grow. You go back to that other tree, and that's rooted in rock. It's got to work hard to get to some place where it's going to get its nutrients. It's got to be faithful and work hard to get in there and get under all those rocks. This guy, you look at the smaller trees in there, they're probably the kids of this big monster here. Okay? They fall on the ground, the seeds fall down there, and they're rooted underneath where their parent is. So then the parent drops its leaves and drops twigs, and birds come along and drop things in there. And this soil that's underneath that tree is very nutrient rich. It makes for growing these live oak trees just fantastic. The young ones in here don't have to work real hard to get their nutrients like that other tree that's growing in that rock base. Okay, so to be rooted in faith, there's different kinds of that rooting that happens. Okay, some of us were born into a faithful family, so we were rooted in this easier method of getting our nutrients and getting our background. Then there are some of us, they got to work hard to see it and to understand what they need to get their nutrients. You know, we're going to work on that. You know, I show these pictures, and I just told you what I kind of see in these two pictures. You take it for what you want. You look at those pictures and you say, yeah, I see what Carl's saying there. Right? You know, that makes a lot of sense. Or, well, I see it this way, and that's fantastic. But I want you to just kind of think about the differences here. Everybody has a different life. Some of us have to work hard at doing things, and others, it's a lot easier. You can go to the black screen, please. As I said, the title of our message today is Rooted in Faith. Well, what is faith? According to Webster, and this I did not get off of AI. Remember I said I don't want to do that. So from here out, no more pictures up there. And what you're hearing is from me, looking at this device right here, and listening to what I feel God was telling me about with this. And, well, I looked at Webster's dictionary, too. What is faith? According to Webster, faith is the deep conviction that God's words are true and that God will perform all that he promises. That's a pretty good definition, you know. AI probably would have said something all different, and I'm glad I didn't go that way. So, we are the church of God, faith of Abraham. So I said, what does faith mean? What does it mean to be the faith of Abraham? Let's go back a few thousand years, just a bit. Back to Genesis, chapters 12 through chapter 24 tell us about a man named Abraham. Well, he ended up being named Abraham. Earlier, he was Abram. And I'm not going to read the whole 12 chapters, just snippets of it here and there, just to get the idea of Abraham, who he was, and why we are the church of Abrahamic faith, or the faith of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, he's been talked about a little bit. He's done some different things. He believes in God in chapter 12, 13, 14. He has done some things that, okay, well, that's not maybe real Christian. He was deceitful. He moved into an area and with his wife and told him, "Oh, that's my sister." And let her go with the king because he was scared. If they thought she was my wife, they'd kill me and take her. So if I tell them she is my sister, they're not going to kill me, but they'll still take you and you know, whatever. But he wasn't completely wrong because she was his half-sister. But anyway, I kind of fell backwards there a little bit. In chapter 15, verses 5 and 6, this is talking about Abram. He hasn't changed his name, or God hasn't changed his name for him yet. And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven." This is God talking to Abram in a vision. "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." So this is King James, so it's that old English wording, but it's, look up and see how many stars you can see and name them. And if you can do that, well, good for you, but there's a whole lot of them, and that's what I'm going to give you. God is telling Abram that. And he believed in the Lord. Abram believed that God was saying what he, or going to do what he said. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So this is the start of Abram's faith, or his faith walk. In Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, wrong page. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God to glory." So this is talking about Abraham. You know, he had a faithful life. He believed that God was going to do what he said he was. And God did. At that time it was still Abram, his faith never faltered. He went through some trials and tribulations, but he never faltered with that. He believed God. He believed the one God spoke with him. And he believed what he was told. God told him, "You're going to have many seed, many nations, many seed. You're going to be the father of faith, the father of the Christian." As it said in Romans 4:20, he never wavered with that. He didn't stagger. He believed, and his faith grew stronger. And every chance, really, that he got, he gave God the glory for that. In verse 6 of Genesis chapter 15, it's talking about his first act of faith. He believed in the Lord. Verse 6, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Genesis 12 actually was the first act of faith described as God speaks to Abram and told him or gave him three directives. Number one, leave the land you're in. Get away from your father, and then go to where God tells him, and he did it. He did all three of those things. He left his land, he gathered everybody up, his whole family. There was no back and forth between God and Abram. Abram just gathered up Sarah, his wife, Lot, his nephew, and all of their possessions, which was a lot, and they left. They moved on. They didn't really know where they were headed other than God will tell me where I need to go. They ended up in the Plain of Moreh. In chapter 12, verse 7 of Genesis, the Lord appeared and said unto Abram, the Lord appeared and said unto him, thy seed will I give this land. Things weren't easy there. It was during a famine, and the Canaanites were wicked. So here's where Abram kind of messed up again, but he moved, took his family and everything to Egypt. And again, he told the Pharaoh, she's my sister. Don't mess with me. She's my sister. You can have her. And that, you know, God came to Pharaoh and said, you know, you're in for some bad stuff if you keep her as your wife. And Pharaoh hadn't done anything to be disrespectful and said, no, she can go back. And by the way, Abram, get out of here. So I'm not sure how Pharaoh knew or could see it that his trouble started because God plagued Egypt at that time. So because of Pharaoh taking Sarah, but he did. So he made things straight and put two and two together and told Abram to get out of the neighborhood. So Abram traveled on, and he settled a little ways further away near Sodom and Gomorrah. I can never say that, the name of that town very well. And this is where God renewed his covenant with Abram, told him, hey, you know, earlier he told him, look up in the stars. Now he's telling him, look down at the ground. Look north, south, east, and west. As far as you can see, will be yours and your seed, and it'll be forever. And your seed will be like the dust of the earth. It'll be too numerous to count. So that goes back. Later, God told Abram in a vision, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not. Haven't I said that before in some conversations that I've had here? We're told, don't fear. Have faith. Abram was bold with God for being faithful, and then he would speak his mind to God. He did it around the time when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he did it earlier than that, but right offhand I can't claim or call the time that he was bold about it. But Abram told God, hey, now wait a minute, you're going to destroy this town. What if I find five people that are, you know, willing and faithful to you? Okay, well, if you find, or I think it went the other way around, didn't it? 40 people first, and then down. About four times, Abram said to God, hey, you know, maybe you should wait, because I think I can find 40 people. But, well, maybe I won't find that many. What if I find 30 people? What if I find five people? So he was pretty bold with him. You know, I think that's the way we should actually, we don't fear God. We should be bold with him and talk to him and have faith that he's going to take care of us. As it came down, Abram said to God, you know, you tell me I'm going to have, all these people, and all my seed is going to go everywhere and so numerous. I don't have any seed. I don't have any heirs. My heir is going to be one of my slaves. God said, take it easy. I'll give you heirs. I will give you the seed. And first he had Ishmael from Sarai's servant girl. He still didn't have an heir. 13 years later, Abram was now 99 years old, and God, in chapter 17, Genesis 17, verse 1, God's going to renew his covenant with Abram. And when Abram was 99 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. References to that is El Shaddai, which is Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. God told Abram, walk before me and be thou perfect. Have faith in me. Be perfect. Abram did. Abram believed in what God told him. He fell face down and waited for his covenant to be fulfilled. God promises that Abram is going to be the father of many nations. And further, God tells Abram, I will establish my covenant between God and Abraham and his seed after thee forever, to be your God forever. So God keeps telling him, you're going to be the father of many nations, and your seed is going to be the heir to all of this forever. part of the covenant was every man in your house shall. It wasn't a, if you want to, it was a shall. That means you will do it, shall be circumcised. Anybody that's 8 days old or older, new babies, 8 days old, male children. And at that time, Sarai's name got changed to Sarah. And God promises a son to Abraham. And it's interesting because the Bible talks about Abraham kind of laughed that one off. Sarah did also. But Sarah was the one that got called out for it. Because God said to him, Sarah, why did you laugh? And what'd she say? I didn't laugh. No, you did. It was God's response. You did. But guess what? I'm giving you a son anyway. It will happen. Abraham believed. So Isaac is born. Ishmael and Hagar are shunned and pushed out of the household. And God told Abraham, don't worry about Hagar and Ishmael. I will make them, I'll take care of them. But I'm going to take care of you and my chosen people of the Abrahamic faith first. God tested Abraham. Not sure how old Isaac was when this happened, but God told Abraham in chapter 22, verse 2, I need you to make a sacrifice. And I need you to make that sacrifice of your son, Isaac. So I want you to go over here and go up into a mountain that I'm going to tell you about sometime. But Abraham didn't know when or where this was going to happen or how it was. God told him just do it. So Abraham, being the faithful person that he was, did just that. Loaded everybody up. Well, not everybody. He loaded Isaac, some firewood, a knife on his donkey or a carrying device of some sort and headed off. So Abraham, or God told Abraham, we're going to sacrifice your son up there on one of those mountains. I'll tell you where when you get on the road. I don't know about the parents in here. We had a son just die, but I can't imagine being told, take your son, go that direction, and at some point, I'm going to tell you where. I want you to kill him and burn him. I can't imagine being told that. But Abraham believed that this is what I have to do. God said it. I'm going to do it. He was faithful. Well, Abraham did take his son, got up on the mountain, started head toward the mountain, got there, tied his son to the bundle of or the altar where that he had made, tied his son, had the knife in hand, raised it before God told him, stop. You're faithful to me, stop. And there was a ram tangled up in the bushes off to the side. God provided that sacrifice so Isaac didn't have to be sacrificed. He put in a replacement. God knew that Abraham had faith. We each need to build our faith in God. Sorry. How do we become stronger in our faith? Well, first, we need to pray. I've said that previously in my messages to you also, is pray always. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. But not only pray, but we need to listen. We've got to listen to what God has to tell us. We pray to God through Jesus. Wait for the answers to come to us. Then, the second thing that we need to do to build our faith is we need to nourish our faith walk. Remember the two trees? They gather nourishment, right? Each one of those trees has to gather nourishment. Some of them had a lot harder job to get that nourishment. They've got to, you know, drill in through the rock, through the hard things. They've got to deal with a lot of different stuff to get to that nourishment, the water, the fertilizers and the minerals and things that they need to grow and to be strong. Others, you're born into the faith, you're born into the family of where you're around it all the time. It's easier gathering that nourishment you need. But it's still just as important of nourishment. Both trees need the same thing. They both need water. They both need air. They both need sunlight. And they both need fertilizer of some sort to make them stronger. What's our fertilizer? Our nourishment, it's in here. Reading your Bible 10 minutes a day will build your faith. It's not that you have to remember or memorize everything that you read in that 10 minutes. You don't have to do that. How many of you probably had some sort of a meal back July 12th, 2022. How many of you had some sort of a meal back then? You remember what it was you ate? No? Well, guess what? That meal helped you, right? You're still alive. So those calories you took in did something for you. It built your body, gave you some sort of strength. Well, did you read something in your Bible back in, what did I say, July 12th in 2022? Maybe you don't remember it, but guess what? If you read it for 10 minutes, just ponder it, look at it, think about it, you're going to build your faith because there's going to be something that you will remember down the road or you'll think about, God will tell you about. Abraham was not a perfect person, but he was perfect of faith in God. He didn't doubt that at all. Let's go back to Romans. Romans 4:3. And for what saith the scripture, Abraham believed God and was counted unto him for righteousness. I'm going to close with that thought process. Pray, build your faith, read the Bible, be in the Spirit, gathering your nourishment. We're going to close with, where'd it go? Hymn number.